Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hezekiah, it says in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 more years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And it says in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all David, his father, had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us as we attempt to preach. I know I'm up here alone, but I'm not alone. I know that the people here, they want this ministry to go forward, so it's not just me doing my thing, it's all of us here that have come to break the bread of life, to share the word of God. Help us, Lord, as a church, as a ministry. Help us to preach the gospel, and also bless us, them and me included. I pray that you do it. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8 through 11, it says that Hilkiah found the book of the Lord in the sanctuary, in the temple. You need to understand that God revealed himself to Abraham, called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, called him out of pagan worship. And then through his sons and etc., and then finally 3.5 million people in Egypt, he delivered them by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, the Passover, and we'll get to that in a second. In the wilderness, God showed himself in a great and mighty way. When Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," the people, the Jews, I understand, that's what I'm talking about. I don't much care about Pharaoh, but the Jews were asked to believe in a God that no one had seen. And I'm not being disrespectful, but Moses had a couple of parlor tricks that he showed. At least that's what it was accused of by Pharaoh's magicians. But a few little things, a few little miracles, a hand turning white and then back again, and a snake, or rather a rod turning into a snake and back into a rod. Certainly he revealed that he was a Jew, and I'll leave it to the educated mind to understand how a person can be identified as a Jew. But he didn't have any visions. He didn't show the people anything except a couple of little miracles and the convicting power of the Spirit. But when they got into the wilderness, they saw the cloud by day and the fire by night. Every day there was a cloud that overshadowed the camp for 40 years and shielded the Israelites from the heat of the sun. Every night, we understand in the desert there are creepy crawlies, there are snakes, or perhaps coyotes, or whatever out there that want to steal and kill and destroy as the devil comes to do. But every night, there was a pillar of fire. I've been doing some work in the parsonage right behind the church, and I guess last weekend was the first night I had gotten it cleaned up enough to be able to stay, and I stayed last night. And the first night I flipped the lights off, and man, it's bright. There's a street light back here, and there's a street light over here, and I had my trusty pellet gun, and I thought about taking care of it. But The lights are here because people would come, people we don't want in the subdivision might come back here and smoke dope or something in the dark place behind the church. We don't know. So we put up a light to keep the creepy crawlies, let's say, away. And Brother Hancock told me about when he first began to preach there, his parking lot, his land that the church is on was a place that the cops had to run people out of before for doing things they shouldn't have been way too late at night. And he put up a fence and chain and all that stuff. Every night for 40 years, the children of God in the wilderness, they saw the presence of God. But then idolatry came in, and we understand the core of rebellion, and we understand all of these things. Finally, they get into Israel, they get into the land that God had promised Abraham, and there's the temple set up and etc. There are the prophets, there's King David, but still, God's people had this habit of saying, well, I don't need God. I mean, that's kind of boring. I don't want to go to church every day. And they began again to drift into idolatry. And Hezekiah, there were, I think, 11 kings in the kingdom of Judah. Hezekiah was one. Some were good, some were not good. But it struck me. And again, I'm a Pentecostal evangelist. I deal in the Old Testament, the types and the shadows, the temple. I study all of these things. I can tell you about the brazen altar. I can tell you about the shields of gold and brass. I can tell you all of these things. And these things, these symbols, they mean something to me. And I hope in all of my years of teaching, my year here and my 5 years on the radio, that people who have somehow caught my vision of the importance of the Word of God. Maybe some of you are saying, man, I wish you'd get off of that and get onto something I enjoy. Maybe that's true. But these things in the Word of God that I try to preach on, they're important. And I'm not here to impress anyone. These passages, I know God spoke to me and said to try and teach them, but they mean something to me. My life has been changed by studying the Word of God. And I hope that I'm not perceived as being Dr. Sounding Brass or Deacon Tinkling Cymbal. Because as Paul said, I would be truly nothing. I didn't study about this in seminary. This is something that God has burned into my heart for decades. But one king would be good and he would try to do right by God, and you can read perhaps of Gideon before the kings. I understand he at night went and cut down all of the idols, the groves, etc. He cut them down. And in the morning, the people got up and said, oh, what happened to my groves? But this was idolatry. And he was trying to rid the people of Israel from idolatry. Idolatry means to worship something else that isn't God. It's one of the commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven image, etc., etc. Back in those days, it was a common thing to have little figurines or statues or totem poles or something of that nature, statues that men would worship as other gods. We still have that today in the 21st century. In some of the foreign countries, it's blatantly obvious that there are idols. I maintain, and I won't take the time to teach it, but I maintain that here in America, this land is filled with idols, and we don't even realize it. But that's a different rabbit trail to chase, I suppose. But we should trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge Him. But too often we do everything but. And again, that's another rabbit I could chase, but I want to take a look at this passage here. It says that he began to do right in the sight of the Lord. Not, well, the deacons and the credentials board approve, we think you're doing all right, brother. It's not that. It's not, and we know some ministers, they know how to say the right things, and they know how to appear to be sheep, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. It's not that they went and clipped the hair off the sheep. It's that they killed the sheep and took his coat. That's a different thing. But Hezekiah began to do right in the sight of the Lord. And we could stop right there and say that's fantastic. He did what God was pleased with. But it says, according to all that King David, his father had done. Now we know his father, his actual father wasn't David. It says in the previous verse 27 of chapter 28, and Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Ahaz was not a good king. Ahaz was one of a number of bad kings, evil kings, idolatrous, evil, wicked kings. In verse 25, again, the previous chapter, and in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the God of his fathers. Not a good king. But right off the bat, it says in verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, I'm inaugurated, we had the funeral for Daddy, but before this month is out, let's start. Let's start to do the work of God. But it says, he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. King David, the one that was the apple of God's eye, the one that had the heart after the Lord. A man after my own heart, the Lord said. We read, and I'm studying in Metairie, the church I'm trying to start, Old Paths Tabernacle, we're studying Matthew. And Matthew starts off saying that Jesus Christ was the son of David. David was the sweet singer of Israel. He was the first king that God approved of and God set up of Israel. And Jesus is known as the son of David. So, looking at the great things that David had done, the pure heart that David had, all the psalms that he wrote, I guess, about half of the psalms, and the fact that Jesus is named after David. To say that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, had done, that is of great significance. But it says in verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he got down to business. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. The house of the Lord, we say the church is God's house, and I suppose that's true. And I know in many of our services, and sometimes not in our services, God's presence is here. But Jesus said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. And Paul said that, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells within you. And that's true. Jesus lives in my heart by the agent of the Spirit. But back then in Old Testament times, there was an actual building that was the house of God and His presence that cloud by day and fire by night rested right on the temple. Right on the mercy seat. And all knew that, hey, God is in His house. Because all could see the presence of God coming from heaven by a cloud by day and a fire by night. But it says that we just read right here that the doors were closed. God's house, the doors were closed. However many decades, or I don't know how many years it was, decades, whatever, that you couldn't go to church because the doors were locked. God's presence, we read, and I think it's Ezekiel later on, that the presence of God, the prophet saw, rested above the temple of God, and then lifted up and went back to heaven. And another talked about Ichabod and said that the glory has departed. the presence of God departed. And again, I could chase this rabbit till Jesus comes back, but a number of our churches, they don't want God. They go through the form and ritual. They still take the offering. They still have the choir, what have you. But God's presence isn't wanted. But here in the temple in this time when Hezekiah began to reign, his father or whoever it was had shut the temple of God. I don't know that the king necessarily said shut it, but the priests and Levites, nobody came. And so they just shut the doors. Instead, everybody's running under every high tree and on every green hill to sacrifice to some other god. But the God that delivered them and held their hand through the wilderness, they didn't care about anymore. But I believe that God is calling us to do as Hezekiah did. In the very first part of his 29 years, I believe it said, of ministry as king of Judah, the first thing he did was he broke that lock and opened the house of God so that people could come in to fellowship with God. We talk about revival. Revival involves repentance and saying, Lord, I'm wrong. Fonzie couldn't say that word, but that's what God requires of us, is to say, Lord, I'm wrong. I've done things wrong in my heart. Opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Not just opened them, but fixed the hinge and made sure it worked right. Maybe appoint new deacons. Maybe get that dusty hymnal out. Maybe preach on more than just the little doctrines that they tell us to preach from seminary or from the denominational head. Let's open the doors of the house and repair them. We Pentecostals, we like to talk about the altar. And I'm preaching on the temple. There was an altar there, but in the front of the church, when people come forward at the invitation, we don't meet them and shake their hand. We ask the people, if God has touched your heart, come find a place at the front near these benches and kneel or sit or whatever you want to do, but seek God. If God has touched your heart during the service, then come down and, again, if you can kneel or sit or whatever you want, or stand there and say, Lord, the man said this, and I know in my heart it's right, and I know I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Or maybe God hasn't convicted you of some sin, but maybe there's some thing that you're struggling with. I don't know how I'm going to make the rent. It's due in a week, and I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. Pentecostals believe in the altar. And I believe in the altar. And even if your church doesn't have something in front, if you're sitting in the pew and God touches your heart, you should say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I want to do right. Please help me. Make the altar in your heart. For as I just said a bit ago, that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. The book of Revelation closes by saying that Jesus is standing outside at the doors and knocking. We've heard this, and we ought to let him in. Well, that's where Jesus ought to live. That's where the altar is. He doesn't care about outward things. He cares about your heart. Doesn't care how long your hair is or skirt is or none of that stuff. He cares about your heart. Another passage we could look at is 1 Samuel chapter 3. It begins off in verse 1, when Samuel was called, when God spoke to Samuel and said, Samuel, and he said, here am I, and etc. And woke up the priest, and he said, no, that wasn't me, and etc. But God was calling him. God was speaking to him as a child. I don't know how old he was, 10, 12, I have no idea. But it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, that there was no open vision. Without a vision, the people perished. But there was no open vision. The preachers, they were preaching dead sermons to dead congregations. In fact, the preachers themselves were dead. God didn't move in the services. The Spirit of God did not help the preacher, did not anoint his preaching, and the hearts were untouched. There was no open vision. And it says that the Word of God was precious. It wasn't too long ago, maybe 30 years ago, that most churches you could walk into, I don't know, pick one, doesn't matter, any corner you want, walk in and, man, I feel the presence of God. Doesn't matter, Methodist, Presbyterian, Nazarene, doesn't matter. The Spirit of God was there, touching the hearts. Nowadays, sorry, most churches don't care. Go ahead and get mad at me if you want, but it's the truth. The Word of God was precious in those days, and I think we're right back at that point.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.